Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 30th, 2017. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all these things that our ministry of, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, also live on YouTube and picked up on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime because we do not sell anything. Okay, now, on another note, let's thank our listener base, which is worldwide in places like Beijing, China, Nairobi, Kenya, Colombo, Sri Lanka, Auckland, New Zealand, Dublin, Ireland, and, of course, cities in the good old USA like Cleveland, Ohio, St. Paul, Michigan, Memphis, Tennessee, Austin, Texas, New Orleans, Louisiana, Kansas City, Kansas. These are just to name a few. And, of course, Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners, at least when our radio programs go to podcasts later on tonight. Now, prayer, and we'll bring in tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours. And please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is Joseph Dumin. He's the author of four books, Prophecies of Abraham, Remembering the Sabbatical Year of 2016, The 2300 Days of Hell, The Blood Moons, and The Elephant in the Room. His website and videos has now received over 10 million views. He conducts tours to Israel and was at Noah's Ark in eastern Turkey in 2007. He's also been to the site of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's spoken around the world, across the USA, about the sabbatical year of 2016. He's even spoken before members of the House of Representatives in the Philippines after they drafted a law to make the holy days of Leviticus 23 national holidays. It got to the second reading, and I understand now the proposal is coming in front of the president of the Philippines. He's been married for 38 years, and he's proud that he has 3 kids and 5 grandkids. He's also an author's weekly newsletter at sitemoon.com, and I'm pretty sure you can just subscribe to that for free. I asked him on with us because, folks, Passover's coming really, really soon. And he wrote a very, very accurate page on the 3 days and 3 nights. And, folks, you know what that means. At the end of every program, I say something about that. So this program will be after my own heart. As you folks well know, again, that what I say at the end of the program. So let's now welcome Joseph Dumin. Are you there with me, Joseph?
Yes, Dan, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, real good. You're okay. Coming in real clear, and I was informed that you're on the same Skype line as I am, so we should be pretty good.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, I've seen you, a lot of your work off and on over the years, and I had always meant to ask you to come on, but then when I came across this latest, I assume that it's pretty recent to put this up here, this thing called 3 Days and Three Nights, I just knew I really wanted to have you on.
Well, thank you. It's about 3 weeks old now. That's an article I put out. It's one that I've been updating over the years. It's one where I teach people how to count to three. I either teach them how to count to three or I teach them how to count to seven. And this is one of those articles.
Yeah, amen. It really, truly amazes me how, of course, there's a lot of things in what shall we call it, for lack of a better word, mainstream Christianity, that it seems like, duh, do you not just read English, you know, because 3 days and three nights, that seems like that should be pretty easy, shouldn't it?
Well, we all get caught up in our traditions, and we just sort of fall back on it, and many people just don't stop and actually think about the things that they believe in. They just do it because they were raised that way, their parents did that, and their ancestor did, and their whole community is doing it. But they don't stop and actually go to the Bible and actually look at what the verses actually say and consider what is being told to them.
Yeah, amen. I know my wife, for one, when we first came out of the world, I was explaining to her about, you know, the truth about Christmas, and you know, the biggest thing that hit her was, well, you know, my grandma wouldn't lie to me, you know.
And that's right.
That's kind of how it is, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, we believe our parents, and they told us about Santa and the Easter Bunny, so we know they're not lying to us. And we also have this scripture in the Bible that says, and I can't remember what chapter and verse it is, I'm very poor at that, but it says our fathers have told us lies. And we never stop and think, well, whose fathers is the one that's lying to us? You have to open up your Bible, you have to read it for yourself, and then you have to not only do that, but once you see stuff that's challenging your position, go back to the original Hebrew, or go back to the original Greek, and look up what the words mean, and sort this stuff out for yourself. You got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And it's the fear of God, the fear of Jehovah, and it's that trembling is, well, maybe I might be wrong. And that's what we all have to do, each of us, no matter what denomination you're in, no matter what background you have, how much church you've been in, and how, even if you're a Sunday school teacher or whatever you are, you have to continually go back and review and study His Word. It's His Word. It's nobody else's.
Yeah, amen. I honestly, I do know one thing. We here in the Western world, anyway, we do really have a deficit of people that actually do read their Bibles. In fact, I mean, it was like, Joseph, it was like 10 years ago, I was invited to a dinner in Wichita. There was a company that sold blank CDs and cassette tapes and things, and they invited us, the pastors, to a dinner, and you know, because they wanted to sell us stuff. And I was eating dinner, and while they were doing the presentation, and they came across, and they were trying to sell this audio Bible, and they were explaining why that it was needed, and they said that it was less than 10% of the people in the United States that had ever even read cover to cover the New Testament. Well, that, I almost choked to death. Back to you.
Yeah, that. You know, just hearing you say that number is kind of stunning. But I also know my background, and I used to hate religion. I used to hate people that would be talking about religion, and because I just didn't know, and I was afraid that they might know more than me about something. And finally, I got challenged enough to have to try and prove somebody wrong. And when I opened up the Bible, I started in the Book of Revelations. You know, it's the end of the story. I figure I'll just get the, you know, what the end is. And I knew somebody was in a whole lot of trouble, but I didn't know why. So then I started reading the New Testament, and I was talking to this friend. She was a Catholic woman and very devout Catholic. She'd go and do her rosary 4 times every day and go to the church every day. So I asked her about the Book of Revelation, and she said, we never read it. So I read it, and I didn't understand it. I read the New Testament, didn't understand that. And finally broke down and said, I got to go read the Old Testament to try and figure out what this stuff is talking about. And a lot of the stuff that I thought I knew, I learned that, well, you really didn't know anything.
Right.
So that's how my background started, and that was way back in the 80s, early 80s.
Right. Yeah, amen. When I first read the Bible, I picked it up and read it as a book. You know, I had lack of anything else to read at the time, and I was in a situation where I had to have some entertainment, and I picked it up truly for entertainment way back in my 20s, and I read it from, you know, it was a book. I read it from the back to the front, and it seemed really, to me, pretty easy to understand, although I immediately thought it was one of the bloodiest books that I had ever read, going through the Old Testament. But, amen, the New Testament can only be defined by knowing the Old Testament, right or wrong.
That's 100% right. Most people are a lot of the people I come across are New Testament professionals, but they haven't got a clue. They can quote chapter and verse to the cows come home, but they don't have a clue what they're talking about unless they understand what the Bible or the Old Testament or the Torah is telling them. Because the New Testament is only understood from that perspective. You know, it's like a yardstick. It's like coming to a house and only seeing the paint going on and thinking that you know how to build a house. You've never seen the foundation. You've never seen the pipes being laid to put in there. Never seen the trees cutting down and being milled to make the wood or the bricks. But all you saw was the paint. You've missed all the other stuff that went in, the hundreds and hundreds of man hours that went into to get that ready for the paint. And this is what a lot of people do with the New Testament. And they quote out of context scriptures all the time, and it's disappointing. You know, basically yeah. Disappointing.
Absolutely. I've never heard anybody use that before, but if you don't mind, brother, I'm going to quote you with that one, because that is a really good one. It really is. The paint up, and that's so true. That's like putting siding on and, you know, having the siding on or the paint on, and you don't know what's inside. It's just like looking at somebody on the surface and judging them by their outer garments without knowing truly what is inside and knowing what they're about. Back to you.
Exactly. That's true. Judging a book by its cover, and never, you know, people
never
walk around. They walk around carrying the Bible, thinking they're holy.
Yeah, well, carrying the Bible doesn't make you holy. Using the Bible will set you on a path, but we'll never make it there until Yeshua returns.
That's well, James said, "Now there goes my brain. Faith without works is dead." And I will show you my faith by my works. It's the way you walk out your faith. It's what you do every day, every night. It's how you live. It's not just, you know, going to church on Sunday or talking to people saying, you know, Jesus this, Jesus that. It's the way you live. It's the way you do business in the real world. And that's, you know, that's something a lot of people try and hide. They try and hide their faith so that, you know, they can blend in with the world.
Absolutely. Wow, you really hit on something there. Of course, that's in James chapter 2. James is one of my most favorite books of the New Testament. If there's a favorite, there really isn't, of course. But and I say that all the time when I point to or I have a mission church in Wichita, Kansas. It's all done by faith, and that's how I feel, you know. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. The people that we have taken care of, the people that we've accomplished things for them, helped them in their lives, is great. But, you know, to accomplish that, I didn't wait at home until a bank account came to do that. We just step out in faith and do it, and it happens, and that's faith. And faith is an action word, just as you said in James chapter 2. Just, I love that. That is just, you know, hits it right on the head. Absolutely.
Well, the Bible is an action word. It's His word, and it's all action. It's not theory. It's not hyperbole. It's action. You have to walk the walk. And it's not always easy. you know, I just received a death threat here yesterday, and it's not always easy doing this. And, you know, if you don't agree with me, that's fine. Don't agree. But to walk this out and to do this life, it's one of the greatest things I've ever done, and I have no regrets. I just regret it. Well, I do have a regret. I never started earlier. That's probably the one thing.
Yeah, amen. I tend to agree with that. I don't know about the starting earlier, because I see so much in my life that molded me to the place that, you know, got me to where I was at, and now to be where I'm at with children and grandchildren. You know, I'm 62 years old. I've got 13 grandchildren. I got 4 grown children, you know, and that was given to me after I came out of the world, you know, after I was saved. And so, amen. And my faith, I've been keeping Sabbath for probably, I don't know, 28 years, I imagine. The feast took a little longer, but we worked it out. When we came out of the world, we worked it out. We left the big city, and we worked it out with the Bible. You know, it wasn't that some man sat down and taught me or anything, but we worked it out with the Bible. And so it was a big act of faith. And which comes to this, I want to make sure that we get this in. 3 days and 3 nights, why is that important? And, you know, I love you, brother. You are a man after my own heart. I could talk to you for hours. But 3 days and... It really was most of the things that you said, I can confirm them on myself, because it applies to me also. You know, just like you said, well, you know, you don't remember maybe exactly, quote, where it's at, but you know it's there. And that's me as I get older, you know. But well, anyway, 3 days and 3 nights, why is it important?
Well, Yeshua was asked the question if he was the Messiah, he was asked for a sign. And he says that it's not going to give you any sign except for the sign of Jonah. And this is the only sign. It's the only sign that we have that he's the Messiah. It's not that he turned water into wine or that he raised people from the dead. Those were all byproducts. The only sign that he said that he was the Messiah was that he would be dead 3 days and 3 nights and then come back to life. Just like Jonah. So if you are believing in someone who wasn't dead for 3 days and 3 nights, then you need to question, what do you believe in? Because when you look at this, that's the only proof that we have. And so then you got to go to your Bible and you got to start looking and say, well, can I prove this from the Bible? Because everyone's getting set up here in the world for Good Friday and then Easter Sunday, and they're all excited, and you know, the Good Friday is a good day because that's the day the Messiah got killed, and Easter Sunday, that's the bunny comes around, we get to go Easter egg hunting on the White House front lawn. But that's not what the Bible's about. If that is your religion, then you've actually missed your salvation.
Yeah.
Your Messiah said he was dead for 3 days and 3 nights. He also said that a day consists of 12 hours. Okay? Now, right. You're also told in Genesis chapter 1, the first day, the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth day is the evening and the morning, the dark and the light. So that was what made up a day. So the day starts at sunset, and then to confirm this, we go to Leviticus 23, and we talk about the Day of Atonement on Leviticus 23, and what chapter is that? 23:26. And God gives very specific details about the Day of Atonement to make sure that you don't mess this one up. And he says it starts at the end of the ninth and finishes at the end of the tenth, when you're supposed to fast. So a day starts at sunset and goes to sunset. So if Yeshua was in the grave Friday afternoon, and we all know he died at 3 o'clock just before the Sabbath, and this is why people assume that he was in the grave Friday afternoon and at 3 o'clock. So we got Friday night. Now, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to let you count all day Friday as a full day. You only got a couple hours, but we're going to give you 12 hours. So you got Friday and Friday night. you got Saturday and Saturday night. And then for the third day, you got Sunday and Sunday night. But the problem with that is that the woman went to the grave and it was still dark on the first day of the week and he was already gone. So if your Messiah is only in the grave for 2.5 days, and I've given you all day Friday, so it's actually just 1 day and 2 nights, according to your reckoning, then he is not your Messiah. And he's an imposter or a false Messiah.
Uh-oh, to say the least, especially when it is the only sign given, and let alone he said at that time, the only sign given to a wicked and adulterous generation. Well, Joseph, we're getting ready to go to a break, and so if you would give your website and tell them where they can find, like, this article and some of your wonderful books that you got, and you've got so much over there, tell them where they can find it at.
We have a ton of information, and almost all of it's free. If you want the books, you can buy them, but they're also free on the website. It's sightedmoon.com, SIGHTEDMOON.com. This article, 3 days and three nights, is on the home page. It's about the third or fourth article down. And we got a library there. You can see every article I've written since 2007. And you're free to copy them, download them, read them. Share them, whatever you want to do. And we have a video section as well, audio section, and you can copy them and listen to them. They're all free.
Well, that's really good. And I've been over there looking around, folks. You need to go over there and check it out. Especially go over there and look at this chart, 3 days and three nights. We will be back in 3 minutes. Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we ask you right now to pray about a donation for the Wichita Mission Church. You see, at the Wichita Mission Church, we are one of the worst places. I mean, where the worst is. I mean, Yeshua came to lost, so what else could we do? Aren't we supposed to fulfill that commission of going to the lost, of evangelizing? So we are called to evangelize, to bring people into the assembly. He said, go out into the world, not wait until they come to you. On that note, you know, folks, pray about what you want to do. I mean, we could use some large print King James Bibles. They're generally pretty cheap. I can get a really good one for a cover for $15. And you give a Bible like that to somebody, and, you know, they're going to cherish it, and let alone it protects it in large print, not like some of these Bibles you get them. I had people send me large print Bibles, and I don't know, I must have still had them like a 9 or 10 font. That's not large print. And a lot of these people, the poorer they are, they might lose their glasses, and, you know, they can't see very well. And so a large print Bible really does help. And King James Version, you know, that's a good Bible. Get everybody on the same page. You know, you start anyway. So pray about that. And you folks over there in Wichita, you can drop by and bring all kinds. The homeless and poor need what you need. You know, food, clothing, especially clothing. You folks over there in Wichita, drop off your old clothing. First aid items, you know, we do first aid. Nobody else around does it like what we do. We give over-the-counter medications and so on and so forth. Some of these folks really just think that I'm their doctor. And so we're there for them. You know, I can't tell you exactly what it is, all I do, because it depends on who walks in the door. They walk in the door and ask for what they need, and then that's how it's weighed out whether I help them with what they need. If we have it, I help them. If I don't, we pray it in. And we see so many miracle prayers there and so on, so pray about it. And, you know, one thing I don't understand is how so many assemblies, you know, churches, if you will, just ignore the poor, because that is one of our highest callings, is to care one for another. Folks, we are the very last hope for so many. And, folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. As you're listening to radio and you come back week after week, and donations is what keeps us on the air, because this ministry sells nothing. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Joseph Drummond, and we're talking about 3 days and three nights and probably a lot of other things. Are you there with me, Joseph?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, so glad to be back. And so we just started to go into the 3 days and three nights and saying, oops, you know, it doesn't quite line up with, you know, died on Friday, rose on Sunday. You know, it doesn't weigh out. So what day did he, when was he crucified?
Well, let's
or hung on a tree?
Well, let's go to what the Bible says. Let's forget your opinion and my opinion. Let's just read a couple scriptures here, because they're going to give you some clues. And once you understand what they're talking about, then anybody should be able to figure this out. It's like, it's not rocket science. This was written for the common person, like you and me.
Okay.
So, let's start in John 19, verse 30. Then, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. Then the Jews, because it was preparation, so the preparation, this is the key verse here, the preparation for what? The 14th is the preparation for Passover. The 14th is when the lambs were killed. Yeshua was the lamb. Jesus was the lamb. He was killed at the exact same time at 3 o'clock that the lambs were killed for the Passover. So then, this is verse 31, John 19, 31. Then the Jews, because it was the preparation, begged Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away, so that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath. What Sabbath? It's not the Saturday, the weekly Sabbath. This was the Passover, the 15th of the first month, a high Passover. And the very next thing is, for the Sabbath was a high day. Now, the high day means that it's one of the seven annual holy days that comes around once a year. So this was the 15th of the first month of Nisan or Aviv, and this is the day that it's a holy day.
Amen.
And that's what they prepare the lands for. They eat the lambs at the beginning of the 15th, the night when the Exodus took place the next morning, and that was the night the death angel passed over after they had killed the lamb, after Yeshua died at 3 o'clock. You see the similarities here. So now let's go to verse 38, John 19, 38. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, begged of Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave permission. Now, Joseph of Arimathea was the uncle or great uncle of Yeshua, and he was also a high-ranking official in the Roman circle, so that he could walk right in to see Pilate himself. He had that much ranking. Anyway, that's another story for another day.
Amen.
Then he came and took the body of Jesus, and Nicodemus also came, who at first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus, wound it with linens and spices, as the custom of the Jews to bury. And in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a tomb, a new tomb in which no one yet had been placed. And there, because of the preparation of the Jews, because the tomb was near, they laid him. They had to get him off the tree before the Sabbath began, before the high holy day began. And it was a preparation day. So this is the 14th of the month. Now we go to Luke, let's go to Luke 23:53. And they took him down and wrapped him in linen, and he laid in the tomb, and he laid it in the tomb that had been cut of the stone, in which no man had been had before been laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And also the women were following who were, now listen to this, who were accompanying him out of Galilee, who watched the tomb and how the body was placed. So that's verse 53, 54, 55. Now in verse 56, it says this, and they returned, so they watched them being buried, the Sabbath has now come, and they returned, and they prepared spices and ointment, and they rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now, the first high Sabbath is the word in Greek, sabbaton. It's a high Sabbath. This Sabbath here that the women are resting on is the weekly Sabbath. So what has just happened, what you've just read here in Luke was, they watched him being killed, they watched him being buried, they watched the tomb where he was put in, they watched the stone go across, they went away, kept the high Sabbath of Passover, and verse 56, and they returned on the Friday, which is another preparation day for the weekly Sabbath, and they prepared the spices, which is, they had to go buy it, they had to go prepare it, and then get ready to wrap his body in it, but they couldn't do it because the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath came. So now, then we go to Sunday morning, while it was still dark, and the women are now coming Sunday morning to wrap him in these anointing oils, right?
Right.
And that's, when they go there, it was still dark, and as Mary's walking up, they're all talking amongst themselves, and as you ascend this hill, they've got their heads down, they're not paying attention, and they look up and they see that the stone's been rolled away. Now they go in and the body's gone and it's still dark. So, where is he? Well, now we got it. You ready to do the math now, Dan? Or do you think the audience is ready? Or do we have to go to some more scripture?
Go to the math. Go ahead. Go to the math.
Okay. So we've already shown you from the scriptures that he died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So Joseph of Arimathea had to go from the Mount of Olives across the Kidron and over to the Praetorium to talk to Pilate. So at 3 o'clock, and that's a good, that's a good walk. It's a good run, and I've walked it many times. So I'm going to give Joseph of Arimathea, by the time he talks to Pilate and comes back, an hour. That now makes it 4, and the soldier comes with him with the spear and sticks the spear in him to make sure he's dead. And then they break the legs of the other two, and now they have to wait till those other two die. So that's 5. Let's say it's 5 o'clock. And sunset is at 6, so they have to get the body off between, say, 4 and 6 and get him in the grave. So they get him in the grave just before sunset. Okay, so now, all that... This is Wednesday afternoon.
Right.
Now we have Wednesday night, and we have Thursday day. We have Thursday night. That's Thursday is the high holy day of Passover. We have Friday, which is the preparation day, and Friday night. And then we have Saturday, the weekly Sabbath. Right? So Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Thursday day, Friday day, and Saturday day. That's 3 nights and 3 days.
Yeah, amen.
He came out of the grave. Now, there's another scripture here that people get really confused on, and that's a whole separate article that I did after this one. It's called The Road to Emmaus, and Luke talks about it on the road to Emmaus, where Yeshua, now... He comes out of the grave, and Mary's talking to what she thought was the gardener. And then he turns to her and says, Mary, and she realizes it's Yeshua, so she goes to say, Rabboni, and she wants to go and hug him, because he's alive. He's alive, he's not dead. They didn't steal the body, he's alive. So, what does he say to her, though?
Don't touch me.
Don't touch me. It's still dark. It's still dark. Or twilight, even. And he says, I have not yet ascended to my Father. Now, what is this? Where does that come into? If you go to Leviticus 23, it tells you the 7 holy days that you're to keep. The 7 days of unleavened bread. The first day is called Passover. the seventh day of unleavened bread. You eat unleavened bread for 7 days. Then there's Pentecost Sunday. But there's no Ascension Sunday. You'll notice that there's no Ascension Sunday there. There's Pentecost Sunday. Then there's the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot, and then the eighth day. And the eighth day is probably the most important holy day of all the holy days, because it reveals the whole plan of salvation. Another subject, another day. But Mary says, I is told, don't touch me, I have not yet ascended to my Father. In Leviticus 23, there's a wave offering that's being made. This is the barley, and this is why people look for barley to begin the year. You have to have barley for this wave offering. When you take this wave offering, it represents all the rest of the crops for that year. This is one of the first fruits that comes out of the ground in Israel at this time. It's called the first fruits offering. So this first fruit, this barley offering, is way before Jehovah. And Paul says, where is it? 1 Corinthians, he came out of the grave, and he led a host of captives with him. What is a host of captives? That's a whole group of people that are captured by death, captured by Satan. Satan has control over you through death. And because God didn't make people to die.
Right.
He made them to live forever. But Satan has captured you, and that's where people are dead. So he led a host of captives with him and ascended on high. That's what Paul says. This is the wave offering, and that takes place on the first day of the week during the days of unleavened bread. So this is that Sunday morning. Now, 9 o'clock that takes place, because all the sacrifices are done at 9 and 3. 9 and 3. Yeshua was hung on the tree or the cross at 9 a.m. when the first offerings were being made, and he died at 3 p.m. when the second or the afternoon offerings were being made. So he goes to heaven and presents these first fruits at 9 a.m. Sunday morning. Then he goes on the road to Emmaus. And he's talking to these two people walking along the road, and they're scratching their head. What's going on? He's supposed to be coming back, but the woman went to the grave. He's not there. In the King James, it says, and today... today is 3 days since these things happened. Today. That word today is not in the original text. It's been added. And this is something that people need to be aware of. Constantine the Emperor held a council of Nicaea, I think it was 325 Common Era.
Yes.
And they put these books together, and he did not want to have anything to do with these reprobate Jews and their Sabbath and their holy days. And they wanted to know when to keep what he called Pesach, which is now called Easter, but Pesach comes from the Hebrew word for Passover. He wanted to know how to keep Passover without having to look to the Jews to determine when it is. So they added this word today to the scriptures, and they made sure that it was according to their own calculations. It had nothing to do with the Jews anymore. Up until this time, Jews were converting to following Jesus and Yeshua by the thousands.
Amen.
By the thousands. Look in the book of Acts of Paul or Peter and how many were converting over then. Thousands. But after Constantine made this edict, Jews stopped converting. And it was only the pagans that were
converting from then on.
Well, they were converting from their own religion back to something a little bit different, but the same. So
here bears the thing that I want to get across to the folks. Now, I don't know how. I mean, we find this is an error, a grave error, really, because you know he said this is my only sign given, 3 days and three nights. I mean, you know it's their real play. You got Wednesday dark to Thursday dark to Friday dark to all just before dark on the Sabbath, and he comes out of the grave. That's real plain. He said this is my sign. So if this is false, it bears the question, where are these, where are these people positioned at that are listening to us that go, like say right now, go, Joseph, well, wait a minute. If that's true, then are they following anything of Jesus? What's the story? What do we say to them from then on?
Well, yeah, I understand. And I tell people, you know, if that struck a bell with you and you find out, okay, maybe my theology's got a little crack in it, open up your Bible and start reading it. Don't believe me. Don't believe Dan. Don't believe anyone else. Open up your Bible and just read it. Read it for yourself because you're a big adult. You can read it and understand what it says. Because, you know, there's two places in Matthew, one to the five foolish virgins, and another one to a bunch of people who were converting people and casting demons out and doing all these good works. And Jesus says to them, "Be gone from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you." Is it possible that all the good things that you think you're doing, he's going to tell you, "I never knew you"? Those are the most scariest words in the entire Bible that I could ever think of. I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. So
yeah, absolutely. You use that word instead of iniquity. In the King James, it uses iniquity. But lawlessness is indeed what it is. And if you look up, not to interrupt you, Joseph, but if you look up the word lawlessness, folks, then you're going to find it goes back to the root word. It means being without Torah. Back to you.
Yeah, and Jesus said, you know, I meet people all the time when I'm over in Israel. They love Jesus, they love him. And I said, well, it says in 1 John, if you love me, keep the commandments. And those who say they love me and don't keep the commandments are liars. So if you love him, you got to keep the commandments. Well, the people say the commandments are nailed to the tree, but no, it was Yeshua that was nailed to the tree. If you have a debt, if you have a bill, and you owe somebody, you know, let's say, Dan, I owed you $100 and you have it written on a piece of paper and I paid you that $100. You take that piece of paper and you shove it through a spike, which is the old way of showing people that debt was paid. And this is what Yeshua has done. He's paid that debt if you return to the truth, if you return to stop sinning. Sin is what we do by not obeying. So the debt is paid if you want to return, if you want to repent and start obeying. But if you continue to not obey, then you get to pay that debt yourself with your own life. And that's really hard to fathom. And this is the thing that people are challenged on. And, you know, Easter Sunday and Good Friday, okay, I know you're trying to do what's right and you're trying to learn about Jesus who came out of the grave and he saved us all, but he saved you from death if you repent, and you have to repent. And the part of that repentance is to learn the commandments that he gave you, which he gave at Mount Sinai. You know, people know, don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't covet. But the first four, and Jesus said, when he was asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? You know, to love God with your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it. So if the second is the one that we keep, but we don't keep the first and greatest one, we're going to be told, I never knew you.
Amen. And let me give this to the people. The scripture says that once, if you continue on in sin, once you receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Or as my young boy started saying it when he was young, now he's a little older. But I would say, Elijah, what's that mean? He'd say, well, if you know, Dad, if you know what you're doing is wrong and you keep on doing it over and over, you're not going to heaven, you're going to lake of fire. And it's just that simple. We must turn away from sin. But shouldn't we rejoice in the wonderful knowledge? Isn't all this so much better than all those fake days, so to speak?
I have learned, you know, that was a scripture I had in my mind, but I didn't bring it up because I couldn't remember where it was or the proper word. Thank you for that. Perfect, perfect scripture. We should be happy in this stuff. You know, I teach people about the Sabbath and the holy days, and I teach them about the sabbatical and jubilee years. And when you understand this stuff and how they go together, it's like a really beautiful glove that feels so good once you have it on. You never want to take it off, and you can pick up a dime with the gloves on. It's such an awesome feeling because you now know what God is talking about. You now know the plan of salvation. You now know what these things mean and what they represent. You know, like, it's such an amazing thing. Yeah, of course you're going to be excited. Well, I'm excited. I get excited about it. I love talking about this.
Amen. You know, the difference between this, you know, and, you know, I was in the world, and before I had this knowledge, I kept Christmas and Easter, and I always used to love the Christmas carols and all those things. But, you know, there was something felt different or wrong about it, so to speak. But now, knowing the feast that I do, and know that Yeshua is our Passover lamb, and I really implore everybody to go to a Passover cedar if you haven't been, but it proves it. I mean, it's right there. It's like, not like with Christmas, I can't say, well, I got Santa Claus and stuff. Well, how does that go with, well, I don't know how that goes with it, but no, I've got Yeshua, and it's right there in the Word, and it's laid out, and so I know it, and so it just does my heart. Well, wonderful. What about you?
Yeah, there's one other thing that a lot of people are worried about when they start reading the Bible. It might become one of those holy rollers or one of those really weird Christian things. You know, just read your Bible. You know, it's just read it. And it, once you understand these truths, it becomes so much, so exciting. And, you know, we take people and show them where these things happened and show them what, when it's speaking about this thing, here's what he was looking at. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, when I take people up the Kidron Valley and you see the graves on both sides, ah, that's what King David meant. And people get excited. They get goosebumps going down their back. Because it's a very real book. It has so much truth in it.
Amen. Absolutely. Well, you know what? You know, this has went really fast. We only got about a minute or so left. But I do really appreciate you being on with me. And, you know, maybe we'll talk again. So tell them again about your website. You got about a minute.
I'd love to be back, Dan. I enjoyed this conversation, too. You also played my most favorite song there, Days of Elijah. That's one of my favorites. Anyway, it's sightofmoon.com. Everything on the website is free. If you want the books talk about end-time prophecy. You're welcome to buy them, or you can search for them on the website. They're there someplace. And we're there to help. And if you got questions, you can write us. We're there to help. I have no one following me. I want everyone to follow God, and that's it.
Yeah, amen. Well said. Well said, brother. I don't want anybody to follow me. I don't want any of that. I just want you to get excited about him like I am. Well, thanks for being on with me, Joseph. I'm going to have to say goodbye and shalom to you so I can get out of here.
Thank you.
All right, shalom. Bye-bye. Well, folks, that was Joseph Drummond, and he has a website. It's sightedmoon.com. You should really check it out. Wherever you find this in radio archives, there will be a link to it, of course. And so I'm not telling you you're going to go to hell because, you know, or go to the grave because you haven't been keeping Passover or you don't know the truth of 3 days and three nights. But that's what it's all about, is education and learning. And then once you have the knowledge and the truth, to go forward with it, because it isn't burdensome. It doesn't weigh you down. It isn't bag of rocks. It actually sets you free. And the truth, Yeshua said, would set you free. And that's what it does, to be able to walk in spirit and truth. I can stand before you and walk in spirit and truth, but when you have all of this, the worldly things on you, it's so hard. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your support. Really pray about it tonight. If not, pray about supporting radio, because radio is where you heard this program at, and it isn't free for us. But remember, there is only one God, and he is your Father. He's the God of who? He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach, and he gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, 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 always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.